All right, Jim. I think that the existence of Better Call Sexton and the popularity of the show is proof positive that dating and marriage and relationships and gender roles and monogamy and all these discussions have become so a part of pop culture.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that in Netflix right now. There's a lot of documentaries.
Oh,
Netflix
is on one with relationships.
I mean, this stuff is pop culture, and this is what people are watching and talking about. And obviously, you got to keep changing the concepts and pushing the boundaries. And the latest one, Age of Attraction.
I am pouring this show over my pancakes and just eating it. I love it.
I believe the kids, the girls say, I am sat.
I have no idea what that means.
I'm sat for this. Like, I'm you're going to sit and watch
like you've seated.
Yeah.
Okay. I am
sat.
I am, in fact, sat for it.
So Age of Attraction is a new Netflix dating show. You know, they've had this success.
It's a whole ass vibe.
It's a whole ass vibe that I am sat. You know what?
I'm here for
Jim,
it.
Jim, do me a favor, say this. It's T.
I'm in my Age of Attraction era.
Go like this.
Right now.
Do this. It's T.
It's T. Yeah. It's, I don't even know what I just did. It's I'm loving it. I'm loving it right now. I'm here for it.
So the concept.
It is the moment.
Did you clock the tea?
Guy clock. I don't even know what that means. You guys are really, now you're just humiliating me. This is not, this isn't nice. I'm nice to both of you. I don't know where this is coming from. Audience, somebody, honestly, is anyone, there's going to be a producer job and a co-host job open very soon. We're taking resumes at sexandshow.com. Go ahead and just sign right up. We'll pay you in soul gummies. You're going to love it.
It's like Jim, blink twice if you're being held captive on this show. Get me out of here. But Age of Attraction is
amazing.
They took the controversy and the debate around age gap and they just made a dating show with
it. They were just like, let's fucking do this. So it's, like, let's just make it messy. Yeah, it's great.
Probably 20, maybe even like 30. There's a lot of people on the show.
A lot of people on the show. It's actually one of those shows that, like, a couple of episodes in, I find myself going, who's that?
Yeah, I know.
Like, where were they? Like, that always happened when I used to watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like, somebody just come out and I'd be like, did he just show up? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know who that guy is. He hasn't been here the whole time.
A lot of people not getting screen time.
They got a whole crowd. Yeah, they got
The concept is that everyone dates and connects, and then you pick if you're going to be in a relationship, but you are not allowed to ask each other's ages.
Yeah, so the unknown variable in the thing is the way they parse it is they say, well, you can ask any question except for one, which is how old are you? Now, I think they should actually be more specific, which is you can't ask how old the person's kids are, because there's a bunch of people there that have kids. And then those people are volunteering how old their kids are. So you can kind of do the math, because you're like, all right, if they were if they were 18 when they had their kid, or if they were 22 when they had their kid, you can start doing the math on it. So I think it should have been you're not allowed to talk about how old the person's kids are or when they went to high school or anything like that.
Yeah. So this is kind of a running joke in Love is Blind worlds where you're not allowed to ask about physical attributes.
Right.
But the guys will often be like, so if we were to do the Dirty Dancing move, would I be able to lift you up? And one, you know, I'd be like, so where were you on 9/11?
Were you at school? Were you not born? What was your, that's actually good. I think that would actually be a fun game to figure, like, what would be the best questions to ask to try to approximate someone's age without saying explicitly what age they are. But the whole concept of the show is, you know, and by the way, I do have to say, quite a few of the people don't look as young as they think they do.
Yeah.
Like, there's a level of delusion happening on that screen where they're like, I think he's going to be shocked when he finds out how old I am. Like, really? Because I don't think anyone's going to be shocked when they find it out. And unless you're like 90.
Right.
I think most people are going to be like, yeah, she's like 60. She's in her late 50s. Like, there's people, even the men, like, he's like, well, I think she's going to be shocked when she hears how old I am. I'm like, nah, dude, you're on so much testosterone, your face is purple. Like, trust me, you got the neck thing going. You're so clearly on PRT. Nobody's going to mistakenly think you're 20. There's a couple of dudes that have Botox on it. They're just all doing the thing. It's not great. And the young ones, it's like they're painfully obvious how young they are, you know, and that they're, again, what's cool about it is they've done it with younger men, older women, younger women, older men, like the whole vibe. They've done the whole gamut of it. So it really does balance out this idea of, all right, listen, if it's okay for this, why wouldn't it be okay for this? If it's okay for the men, why wouldn't it be okay for the women, and vice versa?
But what you see in the show is it is very different. An older man is different. You know, so much more accepted and usual, normal. An older woman. But I think it's safe to say
there's some societal stuff behind that
without question.
And, you know, I do have to say some of the women that are on the show that look like they're probably in their 40s or 50s or older are very well put together women. I think any man would probably do well to be with them. Are they age appropriate for a 20-something year old? No, for the same reasons why the guys there in their 40s and 50s and older are not right for the, there's the one girl, the blonde, I don't remember what her name is, who's like 23 or something like that.
Libby, I believe.
I don't know what her name is, but the whole first episode.
22 years old.
Okay, and the whole first episode, she's like, and all of these older guys are like, oh, I really like her. She's got a lot of energy. She's very excited. Like all one of my favorite things is the adjectives that you use instead of saying she's young and hot. Like guys just do the, like, she's got a really young spirit.
Vibrant.
She's got a very she's vibrant. She's exciting. She's fun. It's like, you can't just say like, yeah, she's hot. You know, she's like 20 and she's hot. You know, like that's totally, like that's okay. Cause when you listen to this girl talking, there's really nothing else there. Like there's nothing else interesting. Like when they're talking about, so what are you into? She's like, I like Taylor Swift. And it's like, okay.
No,
like,
kidding.
Anything other than that? Like you gotta, like, is there a list and stuff? Like, I think she works in like social media or something like that, which I don't know if that just means she likes using her phone. I don't really know. But it really strikes me as one of these things that it is, I am dying to see what happens next on this show. I'm only like 4 episodes in, but I am just, I'm on the edge of my seat.
So one of the people who didn't really make it in the show and is off camera now, I think had the quote of the series thus far. This guy, Tristan.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of sums up the whole goddamn circus and shit show. Let's play this clip.
Ooh, Tristan, not gonna lie. Look, I don't know if I can really let that guy into my bed. You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna lie. I like
you
mom.
Do? Do you have mommy issues?
My mom is only 19 years older than me. So when I date women that are getting up there, this is gonna sound horrible. Like, if you're not as hot as my mom, I'm not gonna.
I mean, Tristan.
Dude.
Tristan, if you're a fan of Better Call Sexton, I'm going to give you some pre-legal advice. Just, it's okay. It's just you and me. You don't have to worry about it. We're just talking to each other.
Tristan? Therapy.
I think therapy would be a good idea. I think therapy for you, Tristan, makes a lot of sense. I think that it would be better for you and easier and cheaper than flying to wherever the fuck it is that they flew you for this show. You're really only going to miss like 45 minutes or whatever it is you do a week. When you add it up in the aggregate, this show had to take a couple of weeks of time. So you could have just gone to therapy for just a little bit. And I'm telling you, you'd be okay, buddy. I'm looking out for you, Tristan.
You couldn't pay me enough money to say that sentence in front of the world. If you're not as hot as my mom, I won't.
Do you understand
you,
like, that mental what? Illness is the illness that tells you you don't have an illness? like if Tristan was like, listen, I got some weird mommy issues and I'm trying to work them out in the bedroom, then it would be all right. You'd be okay, buddy. That's all right. You know, like I tell you, I've met people that are like, yeah, I've got daddy issues and I try to figure it out in the bedroom. I'm like, well, good on you. Let's have a good time then. But if somebody comes in and they're like, yeah, I don't know why. This is like, I don't know why this is the way I feel. I mean, my dad definitely missed all my dance recitals, but I don't really know what it was. You know, you're like, it could just be that. Like, it could just
think we
be
figured
that.
It out.
That might just be it.
Crack
like, you
case.
Don't have to be Sigmund f***ing Freud to figure this one out. But Sigmund Freud would have a lot of fun with this show.
Oh, my
I
God.
I tell you,
yeah.
It's a lot going on there. And it really is like, whatever your flavor of misogyny or misandry, you're going to find a buffet of it in this
oh,
one.
Man.
Like, because it's really the men are humiliating, the women are humiliating. The whole thing is just it's a Schadenfreude festival. It's a blast.
Yes.
All right, gang, I'm going to share something with you about a sexton's secret. And this is one of my secret weapons. One of my secret weapons, first time I've been, it's just us talking, so I can say this to you. Products by Soul, out of office gummies. I have to tell you, out of office THC and CBD gummies, I have been using these for years. I have been a subscriber for years. We actually approached them and said, hey, can we advertise your products? And I was thrilled when the team at Soul, a family business, said, yeah, get involved, Sexton Show. So we're here with you now with an offer code we're going to tell you about in a second. Sexton, 30% off on your first order of out of office. And I'm telling you, once you try these, you're going to try them again and again and be a subscriber just like I've been for years. Out of office THC CBD gummies let you control your experience. They have the singles. These are great for me on a Saturday afternoon after it's been a long week and I just want to chill. 1.5 milligrams of THC, 15 milligrams of CBD. when I have a trial the next day and I need a good night's sleep and I want something that's really going to bring me down, I go with the doubles myself. These are 3 milligrams of THC, 30 milligrams of CBD. Sometimes I'll take two of these if I really need to get some good sleep. When I say to you, what's great about Out of Office is you can control your experience. They give you the tools to do that. You start low, you start slow, and you figure out exactly what it is. And I have to tell you, after years of using these, I know exactly which experience I want and exactly what the recipe is for me to get it. So check out of Office Gummies. I really think you're going to love these. I know I absolutely do. Use offer code Sexton at the link below for 30% off of your first order.
We're going to pull up their website here with some of the main players on this show. Because there is, despite the, along with the age gap, there's also a host of other issues.
Yeah.
So this gentleman wearing the chain.
Oh, he drank the Jesus juice.
Jorge, he's 60.
Yeah.
And he's dating the girl over there on the left.
Yep.
And
she was in a love triangle with him and another guy.
That other guy, Justin, was such a nice
dude. Yeah, I liked him.
That guy's probably thriving right now.
I liked him. He's probably out there living his best life. Yeah.
But this girl is, I don't know, 20, 30 something.
Yep.
And she ends up with a 60-year-old. Yep. And then additional plot twist, she says she is celibate, which... That alone could be its own type of show. Yeah. Now you're doing age gap.
Well, he claims to be like a man of God,
right.
So he should be fine with that.
But as soon as, she said she was celibate, and then they got together, and they were doing mouth stuff. And he was sort of like, I thought you said you were celibate, and there was some confusion there. So I'd imagine celibacy is a very difficult thing to navigate in the modern
era.
It
could be a loophole. You know what I mean? There's a loophole out there. You know what I mean? I went to Catholic school. And I will tell you, there were girls that were like, I'm technically a virgin. They're like, when you say you're technically a virgin, what do you mean?
And then
if you dug a little deeper, you found out that they'd done all kinds of other things. And I remember thinking, even at the young age of like 15 or 16, that, you know, if you've had like and I don't know that calling yourself a virgin is really, I feel like it's misleading. I feel like it's not.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just press pause on age of attraction for a second.
Yeah.
In general, the girls who say, like, if you're talking body count, and they don't count oral, I think is one of the most insane things in the world.
I have a hot take on this.
Okay.
And this is not going to play well, but okay. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Because I'm not going to gender it, okay?
Okay.
No, you won't cut it out because I know you. You'll f***ing clip it. That's what you'll do. You'll clip it and there's going to be 50 reaction videos to it and it's going to have your f***ing name on it.
We would never.
You're going to have blood on your hands, Matt. You're going to all cut it. The camera's off. This is what I go through for you people. I want you to know that. This is all for you, Damien. All for you. Okay. So here's my hot take on this. I think that if you just count physical, like intercourse, sexual intercourse, if you consider
penis, vagina,
penal, vaginal contact, right, as intercourse for the body count, I find that wildly misleading. Because I am telling you, I think oral sex, man to woman, woman to man, is far more intimate.
Yes.
And probably far more disturbing to think about your current partner doing to another person.
Sure.
Because it is purely, theoretically, purely for their pleasure, for the other person's pleasure. And you're sort of, you know, like you're giving yourself to them sexually. Like think about, I mean, actually don't think about it because you deserve better. But like if you think about your relationship and you think about your partner going down on someone or giving someone a rather than like at least intercourse, you'd be like, well, maybe they just wanted to get laid. The wineskin's empty. And they were like, fuck it. I want the pleasure of the two of us together. But they just wanted to blow somebody or they just wanted to go down on a woman. Like, it's so much more of like a giving kind of a thing that I don't know.
You
got to include that in body count. Again, I'm a believer in the fact that body count is irrelevant. I know that all of the people in, you know, my some of my friends in the manosphere world would all have pilloried me for this, and they all want to show you statistics about how body count correlates with unsuccessful relationships. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. Again, I love you, Mike Sartain, you're a friend, but we disagree on this one, and that's okay. Reasonable minds can disagree. But I have to say, I think if you throw in like the oral sex thing into the body count mix, it makes it way more complicated. If I met a girl who was like, I had sex with three guys who I dated for an extended period of time, you know, or you meet a girl who says, I only had sex with one guy, but I
20 guys, I would be like, okay, that's 21 guys. And it's way worse. I would say that's 35 guys.
Right.
There's got to be some order of magnitude that kicks
you got to hit that with
that.
A multiple. I mean, yeah. If you go home with someone, you have some protected missionary sex. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Versus you take a guy home from a bar, he's been sweating all night.
Oh,
There's fluids and you're performing.
It's so much more of a gift.
Oh, come on.
It really is too. It's so much more of a gift. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
But to go back to Age of Attraction, I found it funny. You know, this guy was like, well, we need to have intercourse. And it's like, bro, I think just keep letting this girl do her thing.
Okay, first of all, a up is never a consolation prize, as
right.
far as I'm concerned. That's a gift.
Oh, poor Jorge. Like, he's only getting bad jobs all day.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Maybe that's the difference with men and women. I don't know. I've never been a woman. But I will say that I don't think a blowjob's ever been a consolation prize.
Yeah,
I think that they've always just been, you know, like any time any man has ever heard a woman say like, oh, you know, sorry, I have my period right now or something. And, you know, like maybe I'll just give you a blowjob. Like any guy that goes like, oh, man,
that stinks.
Never mind. Yeah. Let's just watch Netflix. Like that's
your famous story, blowjobs and granola. It's not called, you know, intercourse and granola.
Yeah.
Like
no,
there's a reason why it's a special thing.
There's something real. It's a wonderful gift that you're giving to your partner. And so I really genuinely. And by the way, I will say as a heterosexual man, like the number of women I've slept with versus the number of women that I've gone down on, like one of those is much more intimate than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's much more of a, you know, I think that there is a distinction between those things.
Just go back to Age of Attraction. There's two other storylines here that I thought were big ones. The girl who was engaged 4 times in 4 years. No marriage, no divorce, but 4 engagements in 4 years. And the guy she was with, I think, was prepared to handle the age gap difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drops the 4 engagements bomb. And I think that is a far bigger hurdle to get over than your age.
I mean, it might be a great way to collect jewelry. You know what I mean? Like, you just keep collecting rings, you know? Like, that's like, she's got more rings than Tom Brady. I think that's impressive.
Four years is, you know, I agree that body count and past and history doesn't matter. But if someone told me I went 0-4 in 4 straight years, that's going to make me question things a lot.
I mean,
and I don't think
she's a quick,
unfair.
Steady. It, you could view it from the lens of that she's the kind of person that 4 men have proposed to, that must be how incredible she is of a person. But yeah, look, I think it's potentially a red flag. It's data. You know, I'm not a big fan of like red flags, green flags, because context is important. But yes, I think that it's definitely data and it's not something to be ignored.
And then the last one here is Teresa and John. Teresa is the 54-year-old blonde rocket. I think she is.
Yes.
She is very pretty.
Very pretty.
And John kind of looks like a bootleg Prince Harry.
He does look like a bootleg Prince Harry.
Yeah.
And he also looks, he's got a little crazy on him.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I just feel like I would, you know, like if you said to me, he's got like a weird doll collection. Or like,
it's so accurate.
Or people like someone buried in his basement. I would be
would
like,
not
okay,
surprise you.
Okay, I'm not at all shocked by this. Like, he's got a little weird kind of thing about him, you know.
So
he was very quick too to do the commitment room thing. With
he
rings
was in, man.
That.
He's in. I mean, this girl is beautiful, and she seems like
lovely.
She's definitely in her like Stella got her groove back. Her kids, empty nest. She's moved on, and she's ready to rock.
It.
But she is literally twice his age. And I think this is highlighting the, you know,
she's a Scorpio, by the way, which they note on the thing. And I don't know much about the zodiac signs. My mother was very into astrology. And when I was young, the only thing she told me about it is that Scorpio women used to be drowned at birth.
Oh, okay.
And so anytime I would say to her, oh, mom, I'm seeing this girl, she'd be like, when's her birthday? And I would tell, and she'd be like, all right, she's not a Scorpio. That's fine. So. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So that's all I remember about. That's all I remember about it was Scorpio women. So
now this is highlighting the, I think this is the main couple on this show where it is an older woman. There's a couple others, but this is like the one.
Yes.
And I think it's really highlighting how much different it is for a woman to try to accept the younger man. And I think this guy, he's kind of like,
yes,
it's a hot older woman and she's great. Sounds good.
Yeah, he's like, she's super attractive. She's had some life experience. She's got her act together, you know.
But like, Teresa's like, I have a son your age. I have kids your age and my friends
are
going to be like.
Well, this guy was younger than he looks too.
So like, she was hoping for like 35.
She actually said, oh, I'm hoping he's like close to 38.
Yeah.
She was like, maybe he's in his 30s. I'm hoping it's like 38. And then it turned out he was 27.
So in terms of that, and in your experience, like, does an older woman, is there a higher divorce rate? Or are there problems? Does it work? Does it not work?
Yeah,
is there any correlation?
Tracking those stats is kind of difficult to do. I've not seen a lot of trends in that. I've not seen a lot of divorces, and I don't know how many marriages there are.
Well, that's the thing. It's probably just a small sample, right?
Yeah. I don't think that that's a giant sample out there. But I know a lot of recently divorced women, because I do spend time, obviously, with my, some divorces take an extraordinarily long time if there are complex issues that need to make it through litigation all the way through a trial. And a lot of your clients you stay in touch with in some ways because they have post-judgment issues. Once the divorce is finalized, they have custody and visitation and child support things where you have to chase this person around. I have some people, we kind of refer to them as annuities. They just have cases going on forever. And a lot of times you follow the trajectory of their dating life a little bit because you get to know people and you get to be friendly with them. And, you know, they'll say like, oh, you know, how you been doing? And you talk a little bit about each other's lives. They'll ask about my kids. I'll ask about their kids. But many of the female, successful female clients I have, or successfully divorced female clients that I have, in their 50s, in their 60s, go through a phase where they date, if you want to call it that, or sleep with a bunch of guys in their 20s or early 30s. And they're just having fun. You know, it's just something they're doing to have fun. I know a lot of men that do the same thing when they, you know, get out of a divorce, you know, where they're going through a divorce, where they date, you know, age inappropriate young women who are, you know, it just makes them feel better and alive. Hopefully, and usually they're intelligent enough to go, okay, this age gap is too much. It's going to long term be a problem, but we had fun for now. And then they move on from it before they, you know, commit to it and then end up in a situation where one of them is 80 and the other one is 60, which is where you see really profound differences in that kind of an age gap. So.
I feel like it would be very hard for me, especially when you're talking like 60 to 20 something, right?
Yeah.
You just have so much more life experience that I would find it hard, no matter how intelligent you are or well-spoken. It's just like I've experienced so much more than you, and I'm just going to inherently think I know more than you, and I can't imagine that being functional.
I mean, look, I know every man I've ever met who is in an inappropriate age gap relationship says, well, she's an old soul. That's like the thing. But
a lot of people threw that around on this show.
I do think there are people who are, you know, they've had a lot of life experience at a young age. You know, I'll credit my ex-wife with a very funny comment she made once. We were talking about our younger son, and he was in his, you know, early 20s and did something very stupid and irresponsible. And I said to her, well, you know, when we were that age, and she cut me off and she went, Jim, we were never that age.
That's great.
And I knew what she meant.
That's bars.
What she meant is that when we were 20, we both were working full-time jobs and like we both were kind of on our own. I'd moved out when I was 17. She'd moved out when she was 17 from her family's house. Like we, you know, we were really self-reliant at that point and not, you know, sort of with two parents that really, you know, followed them and cared for them and, well, are you okay? What are you doing? And paid a lot of their, you know, their bills and things. So I do think there is something to be said for, you know, people can through life experience, you know, experience things that I think give them a different level of maturity and insight. I do think it's not a secret to say that women do mature faster than men. That is true. That has to do with the development of their prefrontal cortex. I have a theory as to why women also mature socially faster than men. It's not a provable theory, but it's my theory. And that is that women, by virtue of the fact that they menstruate, have to learn from a fairly young age two very important things. One, how to operate and live your life when you don't feel well.
Okay.
You know, like when I have a cold, you would think I'm fucking dying. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like every man out there you've ever met, like I have man flu. I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm never going to feel better.
Okay. Shut
like
it down.
I'm a tough guy, but I'm the worst when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of women that like, you know, again, every 28 days or so, they have like mind-numbingly bad cramps and they still function somehow. Why? Because at a very young age, they got told, I don't feel well. Sorry, this is going to happen once a month. You're not going to feel well and you got to still get up and do what you got to do. So I think women learn from a young age, okay, I guess I got to operate when I'm not in an optimal state, which thankfully is not something men have to do every 28 days or so. Number two, from a fairly, that same fairly young age, they have to think a little bit about things. Like they have to go, okay, I got to make sure I have tampons. I got to make sure I have. So they have to plan a little bit ahead. Whereas men don't really have to do that at that age. Like when you're 14 or 15, like there's no part of us that starts bleeding on a regular basis. We're basically just like, oh yeah, I can just kind of go out of the house however I want to go out of the house. I don't have to worry about carrying any particular things with me. Or can I go swimming, not go swimming? What am I doing? So I think there is something about those early developmental experiences that shapes, you know, how we form as human beings. And I think this show is demonstrating that, like, a lot of the men on the show who are very interested in the young, what are obviously younger women, they're kind of having a renaissance. They either are like a Peter Pan that never grew up and never committed and now suddenly says, oh, now I'm looking to commit. All these guys, by the way, every single one of them is like, oh, I'm really looking to settle down. I'm really looking to commit. It's like, dude, if you're 50 years old and you've never been married, what just happened that now you've decided you want to commit? Like, what happened? Was there some life circumstance that happened? A lot of them are, they got divorced, they've got kids, and they're like, hey, I want to find someone to be my partner in this chapter of my life. And, you know, it certainly shows that there are a lot of opportunities for people out there after they divorce to, you know, find someone who still finds them interesting and attractive and wants to join the ecosystem of their family. So I think it's a fun show. I'm enjoying watching it. It's got a little bit of schadenfreude to it, but it's also got a lot of entertaining self-delusion. And some of the people I'm cheering for, I hope that they find somebody.
Last thing here, not only Age of Attraction, but also a little bit in the Love is Blind universe, we're seeing people go on these shows with kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these in the Age of Attraction, you're talking about adults.
Yeah.
But Love is Blind and a couple of the characters on this show, you're talking about young kids. Yeah. I, having kids myself, like, I could never imagine doing this and bringing this circus into a child's life.
Well, also, where the f*** are your kids?
Right. And who's taking
like,
care of them?
Where are your
kids?
What
are you telling them?
My favorite thing is on these shows when the person's like, I have three kids and they're my whole life. I'm like, well, they're not your whole life.
Clearly not.
They're not your whole life because you left them for a month. So you could do a TV show and then you're going to leave them for a couple more weeks so you can do press when it comes out. So they're not your whole life. Like there's a reason you didn't see me doing media work until my kids were like out of college because it was like, oh, I got shit to do when you have young kids. So all of the like, my kids are my number one priority. I don't know that that's really true, but okay. You know.
Got to get out there and get your, you know, get your social media.
I guess the only way to do it if you have children is to go on a show where you're sequestered for several weeks. That must be the only way to find
Maybe that's why they're doing it. It's like, I got a vacation for my kids.
That could be it. I mean, that might not be a bad reason, actually. Yeah. Hey, that's going to do it for today's show. Remember to check us out at sextonshow.com and join us here. Make sure you like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It really does help the channel. Also on Instagram, check out at NYC Divorce Lawyer. We are danger close to 500,000 followers on Instagram, and we are almost at our 100,000 subscriber mark, kids. We are like this close to it. We have all kinds of fun and prizes for all of you. I have no idea what they are yet, but I'm telling you, they're going to be absolutely worth it. So please do like and subscribe if you haven't already. It really does help the channel.